Let's get started. We're going to start with a famous Gemara in Chulin. And the Gemara asks, Mordechai ben HaTorah minayin. The Gemara looks for a remez in the Torah to the various major players in Megillat Esther. So we've got Haman ben HaTorah min ha'eitz, and we've got Esther ben HaTorah, Aster Sponai. And Mordechai is based on the pasuk Mar Dror. Mar Dror, you'll see in the next source on your page, the second paragraph, is in Parshas Tetzaveh, and it's one of the ingredients that go into making up the Shemen HaMishcha. And the Gemara points out that the Targum translates Mar Dror. Again, if you're interested in what the botanical Latin name for Mar Dror is, we'll have to take out the Living Torah by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. We'll do that another time. And the main thing is that the Targum translates Mar Dror as Mira Dichya, which if you put those two words together, you end up with Mordechai. So the letters of Mordechai's name are written in Mar Dror, at least in the Aramaic version of Mar Dror. Now, with regard to the way that the Shemen HaMishcha was created, we find something very interesting. The Torah tells us that the volume of Mar Dror in the making of the Shemen HaMishcha is Chamesh Meos. In the case of Kinamon Bosem or Besem, it's Machtziso. They divide it into two halves of 250 each. When we go back to Kedah, it goes again back to the 500. So we have on the one end Mar Dror and Kedah, which is 500. And then we have other elements like the Kinamon Besem or the Knei Bosem, which is 2 times 250. And Rashi says, why in two out of these cases do we divide into half? Gzeres HaKosevi, and he refers to a sugya in Krisus, which I don't know if we'll get to today. It's a very complicated sugya about what's called hachra, which is the way they weigh it, because these all volumes have to be weighed on scales. And in order to get two 250s, what you do is you do a hachra, which means you put them on two parts of the scale. Not so in the case of Besamim Rosh, or Mar Dror, or Kedah. There it was straight 500. You didn't have to divide it into two halves. And Rashi doesn't really give us any rational explanation for this. He simply calls it a Gzeras HaKosev. So, B'li Neder, we're going to try to answer the question, at least on a symbolic level, as to why Mar Dror and Kedah are not divided up into halves. And we'll see again, all depends on how much time we have. What I want to study with you are two tshuvas from the Chassam Sofer. They're near each other in Aruch Chaim. The first one addresses the question of a leap year, Adar Aleph, Adar Beis. And the Chassam Sofer has a very fascinating thesis about how both Adars, the first and the second, are both months of Purim. In other words, we commemorate the miracle and the salvation of Purim on both Adar Aleph and on Adar Beis. Adar Aleph with what we call Purim Katan, Adar Beis with the Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. And he has a definite thesis as to why both Adars, the first and the second, have to be part of our celebration. So without further ado, let's take a look at the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, or Chaim Simon Kuf Samach Gimel. He quotes an Agadah in Drush, and the Agadah tells us a story about Haman. Haman, as we know, he peeled poor, and the poor, the Goral, fell on Adar. Now, according to the Medrash, in that particular year, according to the calendar, that year was meant to be established as a leap year in the original plan. Haman was very excited when he found out that the Pur fell on the 12th month, which means Adar Aleph, rather than on the 13th month, which is Adar Beis. Why was Haman rejoicing about that? Why did he feel very confident? Now he's got the Jews by the jugular. Because Adar Sheni has a schus in it, a special merit. And Chazal see in Adar Sheni a number of different possibilities as to what the merit is. One possibility is that Adar Sheni would be the day of the month that commemorates Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday. And that depends upon which of the two Adars is the extra Adar. Let's assume that Adar Aleph, Adar Rishon, is the extra Adar. The real Adar is Adar Sheni. And that's the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu was born and he died on the 7th of that month. Of course, Haman didn't know about this. What Haman did know was that Adar is the month of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. And he thought it was a very bad mazel for Klal Yisrael. So he was thrilled that the Goral fell on Adar Aleph. Adar Beis also has another schus, in that the Yemei HaMiluim, prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in which the Mishkan was the celebration of the Hakamas HaMishkan, that was also an Adar Beis. And also the Man. Anyway, to make a long story short, Haman was very excited about Adar Aleph, thinking that the auspicious month that would protect the Jewish people was Adar Beis. Adar Aleph, on the contrary, had a bad mazel. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the minds of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah to postpone establishing that year as a leap year. And the following year was established as a leap year. The year of the Purim miracle was not a leap year. There was only one Chodesh Adar. And therefore all the merits that are inherent in Adar Sheni now are in Adar Aleph. So in a sense, says the Chasam Sofer, both Adar Aleph and Adar Sheni participate or contribute in the ultimate miracle. Adar Sheni, because that's the month in a leap year that has a great mazel for Klal Yisrael. But Adar Rishon, because on that particular year there only was one Adar, because they postponed the process of Ibur Hashana to the following year. And that's how the Chasam Sofer concludes this tshuva. In the very last two lines, he says, "V'al kein hutzruchu li'aber shana cheres, v'asu yimei simcha b'sheni." On the one hand, they celebrated Purim on Adar Sheni, which is what we're doing this year, because Adar Sheni was and always will be a year of zchuyos for Klal Yisrael, a good mazel. But nevertheless, they also commemorated Adar Rishon, and therefore we have an Easter Hesped and an Easter Tainis on the 14th or 15th of Adar Aleph. Kishneim Garmin, because even Adar Aleph was a Gorem, and even Adar Sheni was a Gorem. And therefore, basically, either Adar could be an excellent candidate for Purim. Adar Aleph, because that's exactly when the Nes happened. Adar Sheni, because that's the month that contributes the schus and the protection of Klal Yisrael. Amnam Ha'ikar B'Sheni. What made them decide that we should celebrate Purim on Adar Sheni? Mishum Mismach Gula Gula. That's the Gemara Svara, that we want to go from one Gula to the other Gula, from Purim to Chodesh Nisan, the Gula of Mitzrayim. Now let's take a look at the second tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. This one is in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Ches. And he quotes the Gemara the Agadita and Shabbos Peches. The Gemara is dealing with Nasa V'Nishma, what we call Kabbalah Satorah. And the Gemara establishes a connection between Kabbalah Satorah and the establishment of the holiday of Purim. How so? Because the Gemara tells us, Vayicha and Yisrael mitach sahar, tach de sahar means kof aleim har kigigis. We were compelled, at the pain of death, as a nation, to accept the Torah. Mikan, modar rabbal oraisa. If you force me to sell my field, I can write a shtar modar, I can present a modar, and say that I was compelled into the sale. The sale is not valid. Here too, their Kabbalah Satorah is not binding because there's a Modar Rabbal Oraiso. We were forced by the mountain that was hovering upon our heads. But Vahadar Kiblu Avimei Achashverosh, they accepted the Torah willingly at the time of Achashverosh, after the miracle of Purim. So Tosfos asks the question, what do you mean? They were compelled to accept the Torah? Ha'ikdimu Nase V'Nishma? I mean, we know the Gemara tells us that what a great tzchus it is that they declared Nasa V'Nishma. So there are many answers to this question, but we're going to study the answer of a number of Rishonim, that there's a difference here between one Torah and another Torah. We have two Torahs. We have a Torah called Torah Shebichsav. With regard to the written Torah, Ikdimu Nasa V'Nishma, they accepted the Torah Shebichsav willingly. But then we have Torah Shebal Peh. With regard to Torah Shebal Peh, it was Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. And that's where there's a Modah, because they did not accept Torah Shebal Peh willingly. The Chasam Sofer presents the following thesis. He says, why were the Jewish people okay with Torah Shebichsav, and yet they had a problem with Torah Shebal Peh? And the answer is, because the laws of Torah Shebal Peh are established by the Chachamim. They will institute takanos and siogos and gzeros. So they said, look, Nase v'nishma, that we will accept the Torah and its commands unconditionally. That we're willing to do because God gave us those commands. That's Torah Shebichsav. But the Chachamim, you know what? We want a system of checks and balances. We want to know that we have the option to investigate and scrutinize those institutions of the Chachamim in Torah Shebal Peh, and we'll be Mahara, be Mefakpek al Takanosav. You know, we'll decide whether we want to accept these Takanos or we don't want to accept these Takanos. So Moshe Rabbeinu said the following: Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. You are forced to accept Torah Shebal Peh. It's against your will. You have no, have no ability to allow yourself a veto power, but rather it's compelled upon you. And that's Kof Aleim Har Kigigis, to accept Torah Shebal Peh. Says the Chasam Sofer, if you look in Parshas Vayeschanan, there, at the juncture in which Klal Yisrael ask Moshe Rabbeinu to please intercede, you hear the voice of God directly and then transmit it to us. The pasuk says, "Ata tidaber eleinu eskol asher yidaber Hashem Elokeinu eilecha vishamanu vasinu." Here it says vishamanu, will hear, and then vasinu. Says the Chasam Sofer, this is the exact opposite of what we find in Parshas Mishpatim, Nase V'Nishma. The Asiyah came before the Shmiah in Parshas Mishpatim, but in Parshas Vayeschanan, the Shmiah came before the Asiyah. Says the Chasam Sofer, it depends. If you're talking about Torah Shebichsav, that's Parshas Mishpatim, that's Nase V'Nishma. Nase means an unconditional absolute commitment. But if you're talking about Torah Shebal Peh, that's Parshas Vayeschanan, Vishamanu, we're going to listen to what they say, we'll check it out, and then we'll make a decision whether it finds favor in our eyes. On that, there was Kof Aleim Har Kigigis, to accept both Torahs, they're indivisible, inseparable, and they were compelled to accept Torah Shebal Peh. Oh, Modam, Rabbal Oraisa, until the time of Mordechai. Says the Chasam Sofer, what happened at the time of Mordechai? Mordechai did things, and the people of Israel did not appreciate them, did not understand them. They were not willing to sign on. Mordechai told them, don't participate in the Suda. And they said, how can we not go? Mordechai told them, we're not going to bow down to Haman. How can we not bow down to Haman? They didn't like what Mordechai was doing. But at the end of the story, when the salvation took place and they witnessed the miracle, Hiskimu al Yado, they accepted Mordechai. Ugdulos v'niflos, Asa Kodesh Baruch al Yado, they understood and they appreciated that all the great wonders and miracles took place through whom? Through the conduit, through Mordechai. Ozi Vinu. Then they understood ki ein laharer achrei divrei chachamim, that we should never question the words of the chachamim. Ki as hakol osim yofe v'itov Hashem imayim, they are guided by the Spirit of Hashem, and therefore hader kibluah. And then they said kimu v'kiblu. The pasuk says, "What's kimu v'kiblu? We'll be mekayim." And it's an absolute kiyum. We commit ourselves to Mekayim, even the Torah Shebal Peh, even the words of the Chachamim, whatever they say will follow. And then Kiblu, and then they accepted the Torah, B'loshon Shmiyah V'Kabbalah V'Hazonah. Beautiful Chasam Sofer. And this leads us to the insights of Rav Eliyahu Dessler. Rav Eliyahu Dessler wrote many letters, as all the Gedolim did, in response to questions that came his way. These letters were collected in four volumes called Michtav Melio. It's one of the great Musar contributions. And there's a piece here which I want to study with you. I don't know if we'll have time to read every single word inside, but at least some of the words we'll read, and the rest I'll give you Baal Peh. Maybe you could follow with your finger inside the text. And this is a piece that really sheds a light not only on Megillas Esther and the story of Mordechai, but also on a very basic concept which appears for the first time in the Mishnah in Avos in the sixth perek amongst the 48 ways through which we acquire Torah. And one of them is called Emunat Chachamim. And people throw this around. You've heard it many times, yeah, Munas Chachamim, and Das Teva, and all these kinds of things. But what does it really mean? And here's an opportunity, if we go through this letter of Rav Eliyahu Dessler, to try to get a grasp on what Munas Chachamim is all about. Now, we don't have the letter which was sent to Rav Dessler, the letter to which he's responding, but I think if we read carefully between the lines, it's crystal clear. He's writing a letter to a Ben Torah, to someone who has a very deep theological problem, but is someone who respects Torah. Mitoch divrei kvodo, he says, from the letter of Dessler says, I can tell that you're of the opinion that although the greats of Israel, the sages of Israel, whose every single action was done for the sake of heaven, l'shem shamayim, these giants of intellect and of tzedakot, these are people who dedicated themselves to save Klal Yisrael, to do all the charity and all the chesed and all the good. Asher below suffik, which without any doubt, every single one of their judgments and their piskei dinim is Hashem nitzav badas kel, God is hovering over their decision. All this you know. And you know that the last generation was the generation of the Chafetz Chaim, who was followed by, well, he overlapped with him, but later the Gadol Hador was Reb Chaim Ozer. And then there was Reb Chaim Brisker, and his Talmud Muvak Reb Baruch Ber, Viod, Viod. And you could describe this Chabura of Gdolei Lita, Asher Katnam Gdolam Yisakusenu, even the smallest of them, he's paraphrasing a Gemara that refers to Hillel HaZaken. Even the smallest of them is greater than our Hasagu. We can't even comprehend their genius. I mean, I'm learning a little Reb Chaim now. I mean, one little paragraph from Reb Chaim is like reading 10 pages of Rishonim. It's mind-boggling. Well, you read the Chafetz Chaim, and he's written so many works, of course, the greatest of which is probably the Mishnah Berurah, but it's mind-boggling. And then, what about the generation before the Chafetz Chaim? That already Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. the Gaon Yisrael of Kedosha. Because keep in mind that Rav Dessler is a Talmud of the Talmidim of Rav Yisrael. He says, all those Gaonim and Tzaddikim, you think, he's talking to the letter writer, Kulam Yitu Toz Kimura Chas V'Sholom? How could it be? They all, together with one unified stand in unison, there was no dissension, they all made a big mistake. Now, again, I think we could figure out what the letter was about. You know, turn back the clock to this period of history with the thick clouds of the Holocaust hovering over the heads of Poland. You could imagine that those who survived the Holocaust could hardly understand how the Gedolei Yisrael did not encourage the Jewish people to pack out, to flee when it was still possible, and to settle in the Yishuv in Palestine. How could it be? And it must be, that's what the letter writer suggests, and others have believed this, and this is a great debate to this day, that they all made a boo-boo, a big, big mistake. Says Rav Dessler, lo tehei kazos b'Yisrael. That is not an acceptable way of thinking. You're not allowed to listen to things, let alone write them and think them. How could it be that a Ben Torah would be mevayit, would lower the Rabosov, and in a sense it's a chil Hashem to say things like that? We know that the hearts of the Gedolim and the minds of the Gedolim and their sense of dedication to Klal Yisrael, they did what they had to do and it was the right thing to do in its time. And in the second paragraph he says, take a look at these Gaonim. Were you ever zoche to be part of their asefos when they gathered together these Gaonim, Binyani Klal Yisrael, they made the decision? He says, Rav Dessler, I was there. And I can tell you, Neman, I can tell you, you can trust me. That our, you know, I've been at other meetings with other gatherings, but the Gaonus, the Pikhus, the sense of love and dedication of these Gaone Olam, there's no other gathering that even pales compared to that. He describes the depth of their thinking, how they would penetrate to the inner core of the universe. That's how sharp they were. There's no possibility for people of our ilk to be omed al sof daitam, to be even to appreciate the clarity of vision and thinking that they had. He says, those who saw them make those decisions, when they put every ounce of energy, both intellectual and emotional, to try to figure out what should be the policy, the decision for Klal Yisrael. It was a maranoira, he says. It was a vision that's awe-inspiring to see, to perceive. Godel v'omek hargashas achrayus. They had a tremendous weight of responsibility. And you saw it radiating from their faces, their seriousness. Mishalo ra'et zos lo ra'a hargashas achrayus miyamav. Paraphrasing the Gemara at the end of Tainus with regard to Simchas Beis HaShoeva. You've never seen responsibility in your life unless you were zocha to see when they got together as a group and unified, made these decisions. And you felt it was palpable to see the Shechina Shorev v'maisi yadeim, Ruach HaKodesh Sharchso b'chavurasam. Rav Dessler waxes very poetic here in describing that the Ruach HaKodesh, that you could almost cut it with a knife. It's Hamah, you could have gotten up and made the Bracha Mavdil and Kodesh Lechol on the difference between their gatherings and the gatherings that we're used to of more rank and file or lower grades in Israel. And of course, you know, he's talking to the writer of the letter, the words of Rabbi Elchanan, he calls him Shlita. At this point in history, Rabbi Elchanan was probably, I don't know, I don't want to say it, but he was probably already gone, but they didn't know that. He says, have you ever read Rabbi Elchanan's description of the greatness of his Rebbe, of Rabbi Chaim, of the Chofetz Chaim, Zichron Levrach, in Radin? And of course, Rav Elchanan, we appreciate his godliness, but he claims that he doesn't even shine a candle to his Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim. He says, "Afilu mipnei mashaanu apuutim choshim shenira bechush." Even something which we think with our sense of intuition is absolutely mistaken, Chazal tells Lishmol Divrei Chacham. This is two lines before the end of the page. Afilu, please underline this. Afilu omrim lanu al smol shu yamin val al yamin shu smol. And Chas V'Shalom, never to say that they made a mistake. We're too small for that. Do we have the right to say about these Gaonim that they made a mistake? Our situation could be compared, as we turn to the next page, Ka'afra Diara. Our understanding and our wisdom is like the dust of the earth in comparison to the clarity and the Siyata Nishmaya that these greats had. And even with regard to one Bezdin, if another Bezdin later wants to undo the decision of an earlier Bezdin, you need a Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma V'Minyan. And here at this point, in the next paragraph, he gets into Megillas Esther. And he quotes Rav Shneur Zalman, I believe. He quotes the Alter Rebbe, who says that the story of the Megillah took place over 9 years, starting from the third year of the Malchus Achashverosh until the 12th year. And what happened? The sequence of events, for those who lived through it, would certainly have been mind-boggling. How would we have understood what happened in the course of events? Such a strange string of events. It was only Mordechai, with his level, his unique level of Ruach HaKodesh, who could interpret the history of those 9 years. Ahasuerus throws a banquet, and Mordechai says, "You cannot attend the banquet." That's the Medrash of Megillas Esther. Medrash Megillas Esther says, "Ubimlos hayomim o'ela, Amar lahem al telchu, don't participate in this banquet. The Satan is going to be makatreg. He's going to say bad things about you up in the heavenly courts." V'lo hikshivulo, they didn't pay any attention. What did they say? They argued it's pikuach nefesh. This insane phobia guy called Ahasuerus, who's a psychotic, he's going to kill us if we don't show up. All the nations are there; they're all represented, in full banner, and we don't come to celebrate his malchus. How can you tell us something? So they didn't listen to Mordechai, and they went, and they saw that nothing bad happened to them. Oh, that was their proof that Mordechai must have been mistaken. And then years later, 9 years later, another event takes place. Everybody has to bow down to Haman, and he, Mordechai, refuses to do so. And Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there was no strict violation of Avodah Zarah here. All that he cared about, Mordechai, was a chshash of Maris Ayin. Somebody might think that he's bowing down to Avodah Zarah. And the Jews started yelling and screaming at him, "You're putting us into danger. For what? For your chassidut? Because you want to go beyond the letter of the law? That's your problem, Mordechai. We don't want to accept that." And the Medrash in Agodas Esther says, "Amol em Yisrael, Yisrael told him to hey Yodea, you should know Shata, that you mapilenu, you, Mordechai, are throwing us to the point that the shpitz of the cherev of Haman." He rejected them and he fought with them. And they for sure proved that he was wrong. Because look what happened afterwards. The Gzeru Lahara Glash for Labis called Yehudim. If we were there, wouldn't we have agreed with the Klal Yisrael against Mordechai? But in truth, what caused the Gzeru against the Jewish people? It was the fact that they were making fun of Mordechai. They were rejecting him. They did it once and they did it twice. They refused his enjoyment against participating with the Sudas Achashverosh because of their Pikuach Nefesh. And they certainly would have said, "Look, Mordechai, you're bringing us to the brink of destruction. Look, we're about to be annihilated." Avalayim es lohoysa came, but this is not the truth. Even though that's what it looked like, and certainly intuitively you see it, and that would have been the response. But it was all a product of the dimyon, the vision, and the hurray satan. The satan got the best of them and tried to use their intellectual logic to convince them that Mordechai was leading them to death and destruction. But in truth, It was the sitting of 9 years. And maybe what happened at the beginning of that 9-year period, that's what caused them to be subject to this terrible gzeirah. And now if we turn to the next page, and again, Rav Dessler emphasizes how the Yetzer Hara was playing into them. He was inducing them and seducing them. Al kein gavra midas hadin. And there was a midas hadin because they rejected Haman as the rejected Mordechai as the leader. I'm up to the Yoda. The Yotzak Zera. Omnam. Achar kach shavu mimach shavosam v'hodu al emes. Baruch Hashem, at the end of the story, they did tshuva. They admitted the truth. And instead of insisting on their evil thoughts and taking revenge and rising up against Mordechai, Tachat Zod Bo Kulam Lekol Kriyasa, they came to his calling. He let out the clarion call, let us all get together and we will unify ourselves. And Esther was at the forefront. They knew that Esther was related to Mordechai. And even Esther's actions were a little bit strange because she invited Haman to the banquet over and over again. That didn't make any sense to them. You're getting so chummy-chummy with our arch enemy who wants to destroy us? Is that the right thing to do at this moment? And once again, the Satan was being mekatre against them, but no. They did tshuva shlema. They didn't listen to the Yetzer Hara. They told the Yetzer Hara, go fly a kite. Hit starfu in Mordechai. Via Esther, they got together and they supported Mordechai and Esther. Tainis v'tzomu tshuva al chatom. And then the Nes happened. And then they were saved. And why were they saved? Because in Toyoseim, they threw out the concept of the errors of the Gedol Ador. They threw out the pitui of the Satan, who was Mara b'chush ben Duma. And then instead, they accepted Mordechai and Esther. And they accepted the Gedol Ador. They saw who were the Hasidim, who were the Chachamim who really cared for them, who were gathering, who were guiding them in the right path. They began to see Shat Tzaddikim, the Tzaddikim are at the forefront. And the Tzaddikim, when they make these decisions, they themselves, the Tzaddikim, are putting their own lives out on the line. Because when the enemies take revenge and destroy us, when Amalek tries to persecute us, the first people, the first victim are the Tzaddikim of the generation, the leaders. And therefore the leaders cannot be questioned at doing everything out of a sense of akrayus. And therefore he says, and he concludes this presentation, Chisaron HaKaras is Batlus Sumas Raboseinu, the source of Churban, of our destruction, is when we refuse to be Mevatel ourselves, to accept upon ourselves our Raboseinu, our rabbis. The root of all is Amunas Chachamim. If we put this together, Rabosai, with the Chsam Sofer that we began with, we see how Kibu V'Kibu means they went full swing around to undermine the Modar, Rabal O'Raisa. They didn't want to accept the Torah Sheval Peh. They needed Kafalei Markigigas because Torah Sheval Peh grants authority, invests authority into the Chachamim to institute and to define enactments and tell us how to lead our lives to make policy decisions. We want to use our intellect, they said. We want to, the Balabatim want to know that they can challenge the rabbi. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Kofaleim Arkigigis, but there's a Modor Rabbal Oraisa. And that Modor Rabbal Oraisa continues up until the time of Mordechai. Because finally, at the end of the story of Purim, Klal Yisrael coming full swing, appreciate the greatness of Mordechai, the Ruach HaKodesh of Mordechai, and they come full swing from rejecting the Chachamim to accepting the Chachamim be'emunah shlema, and that's going to bring about the Yeshua. And Rav Osei, if you take a look at your page 2, which is really your page 5, but it says over there, in the name of the Magid Meisharim was the Malach that revealed some of the secrets of the Torah to none other than the Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo Maran. And he tells them, he reveals to Rav Yosef Cairo something which we know today, that the reason why the Jewish nation at that time, that generation, Nischayvu Kloya, they deserve to be destroyed was because Nenu Misudas Shal Sharosha. What does it mean, Nenu Misudas Shal Sharosha? Let's really ask the question, why was Mordechai so opposed to their participating in the banquet of Achashverosh? Don't tell me because they were eating Macholas Asuros. Don't tell me they were eating non-kosher food. The Torah says Ashtia Kedas. Kedas means that they got special wine with a heksher, the badats. Everything was kosher. Klomer al pidas kol echav v'echrois ashtia di Yisrael asolem yayin nesach yayin shel goyim loyom ashkin lu. They didn't, the Persian, they didn't force the Jews to drink yayin that they weren't allowed to eat, to drink the elam yayin shel Yisrael, and so forth and so on. Everything was kosher v'yosher. The bishul was bishul Yisrael. Everything was l'mahadrin. Lasos kirtzon ish v'ish. Aval says that the Magid Misharim chova dilahun. There's four lines up before the end of the paragraph. Afal pidi ochlinu mashkenami dehetera. Everything was mutter. Mikol makom sudoso shalosa rosha nenu. That was the sud of a rosha. V'havi ki'ilu kneses Yisrael yonka me'ahu sitra. Somehow they nourish themselves from that sitra. In other words, it's not the halachic permissibility or lack thereof of the food. Everything was permissible. There was no iser. But what hovered over the entire banquet? It was the su'ud of that rasha. It was a sitra achra. There were elements here that defy human perception. Only Mordechai could see deeper and penetrate beyond the surface and understand that he has to guide the people of Israel not to be impacted by the sitra of this su'udah. Achashverosh comes out to the su'udah. What's he wearing? Chazal tell us that he was wearing the big day kahuna. And the kalim, or the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. This was a statement of triumph over the Jews. And we are nene from that su'udah. And that caused a zuama b'knesses Yisrael. The entire participation in that banquet injected a certain zuama, a spiritual toxin, into the very nefesh, the very soul of the Jewish people. And that's what Chazal mean when they say that in Chutz Laretz we are ovdei avodah zarah b'tahara. Fascinating phrase. The Rambam quotes it in Yoredeya. It means, on the one hand, we habnab with the goyim, and no doubt we're influenced by all their mores and all their ways of life and their ways of thinking through various media and all the interaction. And we're really virtually all day avodah zarah. But Pitara, because if you go to Williamsburg or Borough Park, you'll get Satmar Shechita. There's no problem. Everything's kosher. Ochlin u'mashkin deteraninu. But the answer is we eat together with the goyim. We enjoy their food. Do we wear our yarmulkes? Do we not? Do we eat the salads or the dust? You know, all the hetera in the world. But at the end of the day, where are we? And under whose influence? And in what ambiance? And we are nurturing the environment which is suffused with akum, with tumas chutz laretz. And that's exactly what they did. And therefore, Nenu misudoso shaloso rosha nischaivu kloya. And now, I want to swing back to what we started with, and that's the story of the Shemen HaMishcha. You remember that in the parasha of the Shemen HaMishcha, it says Mar Dror. And the Gemara Chulin establishes that Mar Dror is a remez for Mordechai, because in the Aramaic it's called Mira Dechia. And now, we want to try to address the question of why the Mar Dror and the Kida are Chamesh Meos B'Shekel HaKodesh. There's no Hachra. We don't tip the scale based on two sides of the scale. And here I want to share with you a Chassidish approach, Al Bider Chadrush. Again, Rashi calls it Gzeres HaKosuf. But Chassidim, and even Litvak sometimes, try to understand Al Pidrush, what message is inherent in Gzeres HaKosuf? So the Moshitzer Rebbe says the following in the Divrei Yisrael: Yesh lishol amai gam mar dror v'kida einam boim lechatzoyim b'shtei achros kimo kidamon and all the others. The others came in two sections of 250, and they were balancing each other to achros. Whereas in the case of marjor, you just weigh it on one scale. There's no separate hachra besides the hachra on the scale of 500. And that's true for marjor, and it's true for kida. And he says an unbelievable part. Again, shivim panel atori. You have to open your mind for this. He says, yadua marjor hainu mardachai. And he quotes the Gemara Chulin that we started with. V'yadua, he says, ha-kosuv b'megillah. It says in Megillus Esther, u'mordechai lo yichre v'lo yishtacha. Underline the word yichre. Notice that that's the same word, the syntax of hachra. Zeshe mar dror lo balachatzoyim. What is the Torah trying to tell us? That you don't split the mar dror in order to have 250 on one side of the scale, 250 on the other, make two hachros. Is the answer is because when it comes to Mar Dror, which is Mordechai, there's got to be one and only one Hachra. And this is a remez in the Torah itself. Because Mar Dror is a remez, the Chazal tells to Mordechai. But more than that, it's a remez that Mordechai could only subject himself to one Hachra. U'Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh, meaning bilti Hachra achas. Mordechai waves the banner, he's dedicated to one achra and one and only one achra, exclusive achra, to the exclusion of any other achra. He's not going to be machri himself, lo yishtachve, velo yichra, velo yishtachve. Kamo, and we find it also, shanu omrim, we say, in aleinu v'anachnu korim, u'mishtachavim, u'modim, lifnei melech malchi amloch kodesh baruch hu. What it means is that our kriya and our ishtachavah, like that of Mordechai, is dedicated solely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hachra achas, to the exclusion of anything else. Hashem is Hashem Echad. Echad means the exclusion of any other power on the universe. And also our hachra is hachra achas, bilti l'Hashem levado. And which other element in the Bosem, in the makeup of the Shemana Mishcha, is also only 500, one Achra, v'cheinami Kida? What's the remez of the word Kida? Again, the Latin word for Kida I used to know, but you'll look it up. Shehumi Lashon Kida. Kida is also a type of Ishtachva when you bow your head. Lefichach lo balach atzoyin. Kidei shal yu beiz Achra, srak Achra achas tafka. Isn't that beautiful? If you look at the semantics, the syntax, the shoresh of two elements in the Shemana Mishcha, you will see that they both reflect Ishtachva, Hachra, and Kida. And they have to be one and not more than one. Because our Kida, our Kriya, our Ishtachva is bilti l'Hashem levado. It's only for God, to the exclusion of any other power that represents any other force in the universe. And there's a sefer that's quite popular here in Eretz Yisrael called the Beis Av by Rav Eliyakim Schlesinger, and he writes, Hu lamud le'munas chachmei ha'emes. He says that we should realize and train ourselves to believe and to think that the chachamim, our great leaders and sages, the scholars of each generation, are Chachmei HaEmes. They are able to penetrate below the surface and to see things and perceive things that we can't. They hear things that we can't hear. Like there's certain animals that are able to see and hear things that we can't as human beings. Afal pisha anu lo neida v'lo navin. We rank and file citizens don't have the uncanny ability to penetrate and perceive below the surface. And the Chachmei Emes are telling us things that we don't understand. But the answer is, Heim Shomim Kol Hashem B'Koch. They hear the voice of Hashem, and Midabra Aleim, who speaks to them, the voice of Hashem speaks to them, and it can be heard by them, by these Chachmei Emes. Bebchinas, as the pasuk says, Sod Hashem Li'Yareiv. And I think if we want to connect this whole study that we had today, and I thank you all for joining us, and especially I want to thank one of my good friends who's here. Come and say hello. I don't know if the chevriyah will recognize you from so far away. Especially, it's, I don't know how clear it is. Can you see who this is? Anyway, it's a fellow Torontonian, Chaim Besson. He's here. Chaim is here.
Aleichem shalom.
I still remember fondly the Thursday nights in the Clayton Park Shul. The Machzike Adas and Chaim used to come, and we used to learn together the insights of the Rav. You remember that, Chaim? Those were the beautiful days of old. And Machzike Adas, this is what Machzike Adas is all about, Rabbo. So if we want to find the connection between this presentation of what Purim is all about and the essence of Purim, and what caused us, Chas V'Shalom, to have a Gzerah of Kloy Abosodor, because we didn't listen to Mordechai, because we wanted a hobnob with the Goyim and give in and cave in and cave into Haman. And on the other hand, our Yeshua and our souls, because of the tshuva in which we gathered around to say and declare, we are with you, Mordechai V'Esther. So we understand and we appreciate that you belong to that very unique category of Gdolei Yisrael, the Chachmei Ha'emes of each generation, and to connect that with Parshas Vayikra. Because Rashi says at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and you'll see in the middle of your page 2, Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydaber elav me'ol moed lemar. What does it mean? Vayikra el Moshe, which sounds like he heard a voice, and then it says Vaydaber Hashem elav. And where was it, the old moed? What's this all about? Says Rashi, Vayikra el Moshe kol holechu magia liaznav. The Torah emphasized it wasn't just Dibur. You know, Hashem spoke to Moshe and he transmitted the words. It was more than that. There was a kol. It was a kol that was unique, that was exclusive. It was a kol that no one could have heard, even if they were standing in that old moed. HaKol Holechu Magia Liaznav. It comes to the ears of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chol Yisrael Lo Shomim, says Rashi. This is the paradigm for all generations of emunat chachamim, of belief in the chachamim. They hear, they understand, we can't hear, we can't understand. They say things that are based on Ruach HaKosh that defy our understanding. We have no intuitive appreciation for what they say, but they guide us. They are dedicated out of a sense of achrayus, and they hear a call, that call Yisrael lo shom. And I think, Rabosai, this is so true for us today, as we come just in a few hours to celebrate Purim, to take this message with us, to understand what Emunas Chachamim is, to accept Beratzon and Besimcha, not just Torah Shebichtav, but Torah Shebaalpeh, to realize the whole gamut of all the takanos, the siyagos, and the institutions of the Chachamim, and Purim is right there at the center. True, there are many debates, and very often you'll find a machlokas between Chachmei Yisrael, and there'll be controversies on fundamental issues. And in such cases, I don't know how to decide, and maybe you do, but I don't know how. And we're going to be confused. But there are issues in which the Chachmei Hador will give us a clear-cut guidance, and they will give us a psak, and we're willing to accept the Piskei Halachos when it's written in Hilchos Shabbos. Yeah, that for sure. You know, we have the Sfarim and we look up and we read the footnotes and everything else. But when they tell us how to live our lives, they tell us how to lead the people of Israel, the nation of Klal Yisrael, during times of turbulence, that all of a sudden, you know what? I have a different day. Ich zet abissel andrish. I have a different istaklut. Right? And that's the problem of undermining Emunas Chachamim. Yiratzon if he is will, that we take the message of Purim to heart. It should be Kimu v'Kiblu. It should be days of Simcha and Mishta. We should take all the Takonas Chachamim of Purim and beyond Purim and take them to heart and run with the ball and feel a sense of I know with my Emunas Chachamim. This is Torah Shebaal Peh. This is part of the Mesorah. This is no less important, probably a lot more important than Torah Shebaal Ksav. And with that level of Hadar Kiblu of Bimei Achashverosh will hope that Hashem will save us and spare us from all the enemies that surround us. And it should be Nisim in his flaws by Yomim Ahem, Fazman Azeh. Amen.
Amen. First of all, do we have a
Shifra
next week? What's next week? What's special? Well, by you, you'll just be...